I preached it one time over in Kenton, and it had popped in my mind to preach again this last Sunday, but something else came to my mind, so it wasn't the right time, and so it's kind of the service that we had last night talking about Joseph and stuff. It's just like along with that, and then something else happened this week that it was just like confirmation that God was wanting me to go back and to preach this message tonight. Amen. So Genesis 37 and verse number 31, the Bible says, "And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of goats and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no.' And he knew it and said, 'It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.' And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his sons many days." Amen. The title of my message tonight is "What Man Means for Good or for Bad." Excuse me. I'm going to start over. "What man means for bad, God means for good." Amen. "What man means for bad, God means for good." Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight. We ask that you would bless us in this service. Bless each and every one of us, God. Let us be able to hear the words that you have for us tonight. Bless me as I bring forth this message in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So, Lord, bless you tonight. You may be seated. Let's go back a little bit. Genesis 37 and verse number 3. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children." Now, all of us mom and dads, we know that it's not good to love one kid more than the other. Can I get amen? Amen. It would cause conflict in the house. Amen? If you get one kid something for his birthday and don't get the other kid anything for their birthday, you're going to cause problems. But the scripture says, because of his old age, he had made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him. Is it possible that us mom and dads could do something and could say something to one of our kids that would make our other kids not like them? How important is it for us parents to be careful what we say in front of our children? Can I get amen? Amen. It's very important that we don't show too much love to one kid without showing too much love to another kid. It's important that we don't say something about this kid to our kids and then it winds up making them not like the other kid. Amen. It happens. It has happened. And if we're not careful, we can turn our family members against each other. Can we turn our brothers and sisters against each other? It's happened. And Lord forbid that it happens ever again. Amen. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus, because we need to have unity between the brethren and the sistren. Amen. We got to have unity between our families and our sons and our daughters and our moms and our dads. Amen. "But they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brothers, and they hated him yet the more." And if you go on down after he tells them his dream, the Bible says that he dreamed again, and he told them, and it says that they hated him even more. Now, what was so special about this young man that now all of a sudden his family hates him? It was a dream that he got from God. He was about to be used of God, and people are coming against him. Some of you here today and tonight, that God is trying to use you. He's trying to move you up to that next level, and there are so many people that are trying to fight you and trying to knock you down off that ladder that you're trying to climb up to get higher to Jesus Christ. And there's people around you who are trying to yank you down. It's the enemy that's trying to destroy you. God is trying to push us to success. He's trying to let our dreams come to pass. He's trying to let things happen in our life. But the people that are around us are trying to yank us down and to destroy us. And the enemy, the Bible says that he walks to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Right. I know we've said this before, but if you think the devil is your friend, you are wrong tonight. Because he is not your friend. He's out to destroy your life. And in this story, we've all heard this story. I remember sitting in class with Sister Elaine Washington and her teaching this story. Amen. I remember like it was yesterday how awesome it was, this story. How he had this awesome coat. If you think about it, back in those days, they didn't have a lot of color. It was basically just normal like brown or whatever, black. But the Bible says that that made a coat of many colors. That was something special. And Sister Elaine would say, you know, they had this coat, and it was an awesome coat. You know, it was all, and they put it on it. They put it on Joseph. That was a good one. You know, but they kind of put it on him, and you know, and it made him special. He was a special kid. But what did Joseph do to ever deserve that? He was just going through his life. If you look back, he was about 17 years old when this happened. He was just a young person, just a young man trying to make it through life. And the Lord gave him a gift, gave him a sign that later on in his life that he would be able to save all of his family. And he would be able to save the whole Egyptian nation because of what God was trying to do. But there's people around us today and tonight that are trying to destroy us. God has a gift and something special for your life. And if you're not careful, the people that are around you are going to try to destroy it. That's why it's so important that we surround ourselves with the right people. We surround ourselves with the people who uplift us and who encourage us. Those ones who are backbiting and talking about somebody else in front of you and with you. As soon as you leave, guess who they're going to be talking about? Amen. You got to push yourself away from those kind of people. Amen. Don't go off and talk about them, but pray for them. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's people who are trying to destroy what you got. Amen. I'm not trying to put any roses on us, but there are people in Athens right now who are trying to destroy this church and to destroy what God has done through our lives by letting us become pastor here. People are trying to destroy our names. They did it to Brother Davis. They did it to Brother Grissom. Are we surprised that they're doing it to us? Amen. The enemy is out to destroy us. He doesn't want this church to succeed. He doesn't want folks coming in and receiving the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name and being delivered from the things that they need in their life. Amen. English or Spanish. Amen. It doesn't matter. I was talking to Brother Grissom this morning, and he said, well, if we had enough people that were Korean, would you start a church? Of course. If we had an African group that, you know, wanted to come in and, you know, have their music like they do over there, whatever. Hey, we're about winning souls for Jesus Christ. And the devil doesn't want that to happen. He's going to try to destroy each and every one of us. Amen. Brother Davis said something one time. He said that the closer you get, the higher you get up on the ladder of leadership, the more bullets you're going to take. And he would say that I get shot at all the time. And he said, if you want to be a part of leadership, he said, you better put your bulletproof vest on. He said, because you're going to catch some of those bullets too. So if you're in leadership tonight, get ready for some bullets. Amen. Because if they're shooting at me, they're going to be shooting at you. They're going to be shooting at the saints that are in the church. Amen. They're going to be accusing you of things. I'm telling you, the enemy is here. He's ready to destroy us. Amen. If we don't believe that, we're asleep. Amen. We got to understand that the enemy is here to destroy us, not to become friends. Amen. But Joseph had another dream, and they hated him even more. I don't know about you, but one of the worst things that gets on my nerves is for somebody to act like they know what they're talking about. And they act like, man, they've done been there. When you say, you know, I've done this, they say, oh, I've done that. I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done that, and I've done that. So it's almost like you're saying, man, you're all that and a bag of Doritos. You done everything. Amen. But I don't believe that Joseph was trying to portray himself like this. Maybe it's something that his brothers caught on to, and they said, well, you know, who does he think he is? Trying to put himself up higher than We are. Well, God was trying to push him up. God was trying to push him forward. Amen. And man was trying to bring him down and trying to destroy him. Did you know that when you're trying to climb the ladder of success on your job or whatever, there's going to be those around you that are trying to yank you down. Just like with this in the spirit realm, when you're trying to get higher, that devil don't want to let hold of you. Amen. He's got you by the ankles and he is holding on for life because he don't want you to get in the presence of God. He don't want you to experience what God has for you. He don't want you to miss out, or excuse me, he wants you to miss out on that dream that God has given you and that goal that God has given you for your life. Amen. But I don't think that Joseph was trying to put himself out like that. There was something in his brother's heart, even in his dad. The Bible says that his dad rebuked him. He said, what do you think you're talking about, boy? Just like a daddy, ain't it? Amen. Listen here, boy, you just a 16-year-old kid. You need to listen to me. Just like a daddy. Amen. But is it possible that something gets in the hearts and in the lives of your brothers and your sisters? Why is it that we get jealous of one another? You see somebody drive up in the car, we should be excited. Hey, praise the Lord. I'm glad that you could afford those payments because I can't. At least right now anyway. Amen. You know, but if somebody gets a new job, hey, be excited for them. Praise the Lord. Good. Don't be talking about them behind their back. I wonder what they did to get that job. Probably because they worked hard. You know, I started over at Red Dot out on the shear. None of y'all know what that is, but it's a big old machine that cuts those big pieces of metal. And it's a dirty machine. And when you leave that place, you are filthy. Clothes are filthy. I mean, every part about you is filthy. And over the years, I have worked my way up to now I sit in an office chair at a computer scheduling people all day. That's what I do. I schedule people's times. Whatever needs to be done, I schedule them for it. How easy is that, huh? I'm thankful for that. Amen. I worked my way up. And along the way, there were people who tried to bring me down and tried to discourage people and my leaders and my managers. Hey, you know, are you sure that you want Michael Bacon to do this? You know, but God had a point to put me in this spot because now my hours are so flexible. My goodness, they're flexible. You know, if I need to work from home or if I need to go visit you in the hospital, I just tell my boss and say, hey, I need to go. And he says, see you after a while. Amen. God knows. He sees our dreams. The Bible says that he will give us the desires of our heart if we delight ourselves in him. See, a lot of people miss that first part. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We have to delight ourselves in the Lord first before he can do what he needs to do in our life. Amen. Amen. My wife worked about the first 3 or 4 months of our marriage. And ever since then, thank the Lord, she hasn't had to work. It's been tough. We had to eat macaroni and cheese every now and then, and that's it. And having 3 kids, man, it's been tough. But our desires, we put God first in our life. We put, and this is not even part of my notes, I don't even know where it's coming from, but we put our everything in God. We put our tithing, we put our offerings, we put our time into God. And he gave us the desires of our heart. He's seen what was coming up. He's seen our dreams. He's seen our goals. He's seen what we want to do. God, we want to be used of you. You don't know what's in my heart. My heart is to save as many people as I can. I'm not here to say, hey, look at me. I'm the new pastor of this church. God sees my heart. And he sees the things that he has put out in front of us. He sees the promises that he has given to us and to you. And he's going to make it come to pass. But I'm telling you tonight, okay? There are people and there are demons and there are things that are happening in this world. And the devil is trying to strip us of those things. He's trying to destroy our lives. He's trying to get us where he wants us to be at. But we can't allow that to happen. What man means for bad, God means for good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The enemy is going to come at us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We got somebody who's greater, that who can help us to be overcomers. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Jacob's brothers, they were out tending to the sheep and so on and so forth. And their dad said, hey, buddy, I need you to go out and check on them, see how everything's going. And Genesis 37:18 says, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him. Again, this is his brethren. This is the same brothers that I'm pretty sure they didn't stay in a house or in a condo. They didn't have, you know, all those things. Some would say in a tent, because that's probably what they lived in. Amen. But they had slept beside him in their tent. They had got up in the morning times and went and ate breakfast with him. But now something has happened that they have a problem with him. So many times through our walk with God, it's not the ones on the outside that are hurting us, but it's the ones that are sitting right next to us on these pews. I told you a while back that there was this guy that I had watched the video on Facebook, and he said that he used to be a drug dealer. And he said that when he was out there selling drugs, if he didn't like you, he would tell you, I don't like you. And he wouldn't go out to eat with you. He wouldn't come up and shake your hand because, you know, if you didn't like somebody, he said, you didn't go around them. He said, but it's something about in church. He said, you can sit beside somebody. They'll reach over and shake your hand. They'll hug your neck. And he said, before you get out the door, they're talking about you. He said, why does that have to be? Why do we have to go against our brothers and our sisters? Amen. The Bible talks about us having love for one another. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus said that they will know you, that you are my disciples for your love for one another. And I'm seeing this more and more and more and more nowadays, that we're having problems with our brothers and our sisters. Not just in this congregation, if it even happened. I don't know. But I'm seeing it more and more. With our section and with our district and with it's everywhere. We're having riots everywhere because we're trying to support somebody that got done wrong, and yet we're doing wrong too. It's like when you go to the gas station and you know you're out there pumping gas and it's not coming on fast enough, and you're sitting there thinking, man, what is that person doing in there? You know, a bunch of idiots. I don't know if you say that. I don't know. No. Lord forbid if you do. Amen. You know, but we get so frustrated so easily. And sometimes we can snap and go from loving people to having an attitude towards people. Is that godly? Something that came out, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I know it came out years ago, but I still think about that a lot. How would Jesus handle this situation? It's getting quiet. Amen. But they conspired against him to slay him. My, my, my. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Making fun of him. Because of something that God had given him, a dream that was going to come to pass, and he was trying to destroy it. Again, his own brother, his own flesh and blood, trying to bring him down. Amen. But I'm thankful for the Reubens in our life that stood up and said, you know what, let's don't kill him. Let's just throw him in this pit over here. Aren't you thankful for those people who are your real friends and that who really stand up behind you and speak for you? Amen. There was somebody that had called a brother in the church, and after his phone call with that person, he called me and he said, hey brother, so I just want you to know, I just got this phone call, and he said, I stood up for you. I told him, hey, we shouldn't be talking like this. We shouldn't be doing this. That's what I'm talking about. Somebody who's got a backbone.
Come on.
Sister Debbie Hart told me a long time ago, she said, if somebody don't have a backbone, tell them to go down to Walmart on aisle 3 and pick one up. But we got to have a backbone, church. Amen. We got to stand for something. The old saying is, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And nowadays, there's anything out there. There's all kind of religions out there. If you don't stand up for something, you're going to fall for anything. We got to stand for something, church. But I'm thankful for the Rubens in our life that stand up. Amen. I hate to say this tonight, but there may be someone sitting beside you tonight who is devising a plan against you. Amen. It's within your brothers and your sisters. I see some people scooting over. Hallelujah. Amen. I was told a couple of months ago by a minister. He said, Brother Bacon, he said, anything that happens in ministry, he said, don't take it personally.
Right.
He said, because it's not at you. He said, it's at your position.
Right. Come on. That's true.
And I'm going to tell you here tonight that when things come against you, don't take it personally. Because the devil's trying to destroy the church body. What is the church? Is it this building? Is it the gable? Is it the roof? No. We are the church. The people are the church. Each and every one of us. And if they're coming against you, they're coming against the church body. They're coming against Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what matters, is they're coming against Jesus Christ. He's going to take care of them. Brother Grissom preached the message. I was going through something. It's been several years ago, but I was going through something. And he preached a message that Sunday morning. He said, let the heathen rage. And man, that was like right down my alley. I was just like, Lord, thank you. Were you talking to Brother Grissom? And I know he was, because you know he's our shepherd, our pastor. He knows what we're going through and whatever. It was just awesome how, it was just peace came over me. That's what happens. Is God knows what we're going through. He's gonna speak to somebody, and they're gonna give you a word of encouragement. Amen. That's how God works. That's how He is. Amen. But don't take it personally when somebody comes against you. Amen? Because it's not really you they're coming against, but it's the church body. It's the body of Christ. Amen. Genesis 37 and 27 says, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. Now they're kind of backtracking. Well, wait a minute. Let's not do this. And his brethren were content. I believe this was Judah that was saying this. Judah spoke up and said, hey, let's not let this be on our hands. Because he is our brother and of our flesh. And his brothers were content with that. They were like, okay, let's sell him. So we know the story. He goes through, they sell him. And then the Ishmaelites take him and they sell him to the house of Potiphar. And the Bible says that everything that Joseph touched, God blessed. And if you live your life according to the scriptures, according to his word, God's going to bless you. What's Matthew 6 and 33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You put God first in your life. Give him your everything. I know well, Brother Bacon, I can't really give him that. Yes, you can.
Come on.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I'm not really going to understand. You're not supposed to understand it.
No.
Just give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Take control. Because when we're out of the way, then that's when God can step in and he really can do his work. Amen?
Come on.
Amen. What is man trying to do to us? His brothers, they did evil. They had jealousy between one another. Genesis 37 and 11 says, and his brothers envied him. Again, jealousy came about. Amen. We got to be careful with that. Envying things and being jealous of other people. People are going to succeed in life, and that's good. That's great. Amen. I'm going to get off of that. Amen. Then when Joseph gets in Potiphar's house, we know the story of Potiphar's wife. She tries to get him in. And the Bible says that Joseph refused. And then he goes in again to take care of his jobs or whatever. The Bible says that she reached out to grab him again. And he let his jacket go. And he said, you know, I don't need none of this. He had a purpose in his life. And he knew where he was going. He had a direction, and he didn't want nothing around him to get him off track. We got to be careful, because there are so many things coming at us in our life that are trying to get us off track. Amen? And how many of you know that when you derail a train, it's almost a disaster? It's almost impossible to get it back together. Young people, listen to me. When you decide, when you get old enough and you decide in your life and in your mind that you can make choices, you can make decisions for yourself, the enemy is going to throw stuff at you, and he's going to get you off track. He's going to try to get you off track. And I pray that you have enough Jesus inside of you that you won't never get off track. But if you do get off track, you better get back as soon as you can. Get back on track. Get back on track, because it could be a disaster. It could be a disaster just waiting to happen. And then Potiphar's wife, she lies on him. Beware of liars. Amen. They're out there. People will stand in front of your face and tell you something, and they will completely lie to you. We got to beware of liars. Amen. The Bible says that they have their place in the lake of fire. Amen. Even when Joseph got in prison, men were still trying to attack him. He interpreted two dreams for two men. And the one said, hey, when I get on the other side, when I get up out of here, I'm going to remember you. Well, it was a long time before he actually remembered. Because then Pharaoh had a dream, and he said, well, wait a minute. I remember my sin or whatever. That there was somebody down there that interpreted one of my dreams. The Bible says that they went and got him. Brought Joseph to Pharaoh, cleaned him all up. And then Joseph, through God, interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. Because of that, what happens? Blessings start to flow. Amen. God had a purpose for Joseph's life. And even when men and man tried to destroy that, even a woman tried to destroy that. Come on, somebody. Amen. Brother Colton. Amen. Come on, somebody. Even when a woman tried to destroy something that God had, he kept pushing forward, because he knew that God had given him a dream. God had given him something that was more powerful than he was. I was going to tell you here tonight, single men, young men, there's going to be women that and young ladies that come at you. Amen? I try to get you off track. You better stay on track. Amen. You better stay on track. Amen. I'm telling you, the enemy is out to destroy each and every one of us. And if he can get one of these young people off track, he's going to count that a success. He's going to mark that down. Yeah, one for the devil, zero for Jesus. Is that not how it works? Do you not think that he keeps up with the number? Woo! Victory today. Got him off track. Woo-woo! Yeah. But then when somebody comes to an old-fashioned altar and they give their life over to Jesus Christ and they repent of their sins, what happens in heaven? I mean, the angels are singing, they're shouting, woo! God is happy. Amen. And then God is able to mark one for Jesus and zero for Satan. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Just a side note here that I told you earlier that Joseph was 17 when he was sold into slavery. He was about 30 years old when he stood in front of Pharaoh to interpret his dreams. So about 13 years he was waiting for the promises and his dreams come to pass. I'm going to ask you today, make it personal. Can you wait 13 years to wait on God's promises to come to pass without getting off track? Joseph didn't get off track. He stayed focused. He stayed focused. And sometimes we can't even make it a service without getting off track. How are we going to be able to make it 13 years? Now, you may tell me, well, Brother Bacon, they didn't have Facebook and they didn't have all this media stuff that was so accessible and, you know, you got all these distractions and stuff. I'm pretty sure that they had distractions back then. Potiphar's wife, I mean, she tried to get him in, get him on in the house. But he shunned it. The Bible says to shun the very appearance of evil. Amen? And how can we wait 13 years for the promises of God when we can't even make it from Sunday to Sunday? Sometimes next Sunday, somebody's going to have to pray back through for something that they did this week. I know, because I used to have to do it.
Right.
Amen.
We know.
It's quiet, so that means you're listening. Amen. But we have to stay focused on what God wants us to do. Anybody can sin. Anybody can do whatever they want to do and just have fun and go with the crowd and party. But it takes somebody special to stand up and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that because the Word of God teaches against that. I'm not going to go there because, you know what, it's going to put something in my way and it's going to get me off track. It's going to make me stumble. It's going to make me fall. I possibly could lose my family. I possibly could lose my job. Possibly could lose everything that God has given me. I'm not going to go there. And that's the mentality that we have to have. No matter what comes at us, we cannot let it get us off track. Because what man means for bad, God means for good. There are things that are going to come at you in your life and you're not going to understand them. You're like, man, why is this person treating me like this? Why are my brother and sister, you know, doing this to me? God's got your back. Amen. Just stay focused on what he has for you. God's got your back. Amen. As the young folks will say, y'all tight like that. Amen. You're tight like that. You and God. Amen. They say that they don't say that no more. So, I'm. Amen. I probably need to stop doing that, huh? Amen. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. When all this came to pass and his dream finally come to pass, his brothers fell down on their face, just like his dream, just like he told them that was going to happen. And they fell down on their face. Behold, we be thy servants. You see how in 13 years their mentality has changed, and now they're standing in front of him. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as is this day to save much people alive. When you go through your life and you see these things happening, you don't see the other side yet. But when you finally get to the other side and then you look back over, you see all the obstacles and you're like, okay, that's why I went through those things. I'm telling you, things are going to happen in your life. Things are going to come at you. People are going to come at you. The enemy's going to come at you. But you stay focused, Brother Dickerson. Amen. I love this young man. He's doing a work. He's been a mom and a dad to those kids. He's doing a great thing. And to have as much focus as he does, I appreciate him. and his spirit and what God has for his life. Sister Nell, two wonderful children. She's focused. She knows where she's going. She's not letting the things of this world distract her. Amen. There are other single parents in here. Moms and dads, I applaud you tonight for what you're doing with your children. But it's our job to look beyond these walls and to reach people that need God, that need to be sitting here on these pews, that need to be teaching their children. Because a lot of these things in our world and in our society nowadays wouldn't be happening if we had moms and dads that would stand up and take care of their kids. How easy would it be for Brother Dickerson just to say, you know what, man, I have had enough. But he's waiting on something. He's waiting on God. He's waiting on that right person to come into his life. And I believe that God is going to send that person to him. In Jesus' name, because of his faithfulness to me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. There was another young man in the Bible by the name of Daniel. Again, what man meant for bad, God meant for good. We know the story of Daniel, how there was people that were conspiring against him to try to get the king to write a letter, to put something in law. And Daniel was focused. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10. Look at this here. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel knew that they were writing the law into place. He went into his house, and his windows being opened, he wasn't ashamed. He didn't say, you know what, I'm about to close these so nobody can hear me. With his windows open in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees, not only once, not twice, but three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and he did aforetime. He wasn't afraid of what was going to happen. Men were coming at him. They were trying to destroy his life, but he was focused on what God wanted him to do. He was focused on where he was going. Sister Covey, he had a dream that there was a purpose for his life. And each and every one of you, it wasn't an accident, Sister Danica, that you were born. It wasn't an accident that I was born. Each and every one of us were born for a purpose. What is your purpose? I don't know that. God does. God knows his will for each and every one of our lives. Each and every one of our lives, God knows and he sees. I know we've heard this 100,000 times. The Bible says that he knows how many hairs are in our head. And my wife has a lot of hair in her head. And when she brushes her hair, sometimes a couple of hundred pieces fall out. And at that point in time, do you think God is just off, you know, busy doing other things, that he's not updating his little book? I like to think simple. I think God just has a little notepad for each and every one of us. And every time something happens, whatever, he just, you know, writes it down. Just checks it out for however he does it. I think God is just simple. You know, he, you know. Amen. He may not be. I don't know. It's just my mentality. But anytime that we lose hair, he's updating that. 464 minus 7. You lose 7 hairs a day. He's updating that. Amen. Because God cares for you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what is going on in your life. And what men and what people mean for bad, God means for good. We got to stay focused on what God wants. We got to stay focused on what God intends on us to do. Amen. And if you don't know your will for your life, I ask that you pray tonight that God would reveal his will and his plan for your life. Because I know he wants to use each and every one of us. Again, there's a purpose for us to be here on this planet. It's not just to have fun, just to enjoy our life. But we have a purpose. We have a plan, each and every one of us, in our life tonight. Somebody here tonight may be going through a lot of stuff in your life. And I want to encourage you that my God is more than enough. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than any kind of obstacle that you may have just fallen over. Any kind of trial that's coming against you, God is bigger than that. He has given you a dream. I don't want you to give up hope on your dream tonight. Amen. I'm opening up these altars. If you want to come pray, you're more than welcome to, or if you want to pray right where you're at. But I think it would be good for each and every one of us to pray tonight and just ask God to help us and to touch us and to encourage us tonight to be able to move past, to move forward, and to get out of the routine of just making it from Sunday to Sunday. But we got to get real with God. We got to have a purpose. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.